is the God who comes to save, to set the captives free. And our Bible story today takes us back to that time when God's people, Israel, were under slavery. They were captives. They were forced to work hard for the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And God calls Moses to help set God's people free. And Moses had an amazing story. What do we remember about Moses when he was a baby? When he was very small, Abigail. That's right, he was put in a basket because he was a Hebrew, a Jew, and he was then put on the water, wasn't he? Because the cruel king was going to throw all the baby boys into the water. So his mother put him in the basket and he went down the Nile and he was rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter. And he was nursed and he was looked after. He grew up in the palace of Egypt, having all the wonderful things that you could imagine. But he didn't belong there. And when he was about 40 years old, he was out in the desert and he got into an argument, a big fight with a Jew. And he killed another man. And so he ran away. And things were going very badly for him. He ran away to the desert. He became a shepherd. And about 40 years later, so now Moses is about 80 years old, God meets with him in a very special way and has a very special job for Moses to do. And we're going to hear now the story, and myself and Abigail and James are going to read the story, which we find in Exodus chapter 3. And this isn't exactly word for word, but it's pretty much the whole story from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. I play the part of the narrator, and Abigail plays the part of Moses, and James is the Lord. One day, Moses was taking care of Jethro's sheep. Jethro was the priest of Midian, and he was father-in-law to Moses. Moses led the sheep to the west side of the desert. He came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire, coming out of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not burning up. So Moses said,
"That's strange. I'll take a closer look. How can a bush continue burning without burning up?"
The Lord saw Moses was coming to look at the bush. So God called to him from the bush, saying,
"Moses, Moses."
And Moses replied,
"Here I am."
Then God said to Moses,
"Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob."
Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said,
"I have seen the troubles my people have suffered in Egypt, and I've heard the cries when Egyptian slave masters hurt them. I'm concerned about their pain. I've come down to save them from the Egyptians. I'll bring them out of that land. I'll lead them to the good land with lots of rooms. This is the land where much food grows. This is the land of the Canaanites and many other tribes. I've heard their cries as the people of Israel. I've seen the way the Egyptians have made their life hard for them. So now I'm sending you to the king of Egypt. Go, bring the people of Israel, out of Egypt."
But Moses said to God,
"I am not a great man. Why should I be the one to go to the king and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?"
God reassured Moses.
I will be with you. There will be the proof that I'm sending you. You'll lead the people out of Egypt. Then all of you worship me on this mountain.
Moses said to God,
when I go to the people of Israel, I will say to them that the God of your ancestors sent me to you. What if the people say, what is his name? What should I tell them?
Then God said to Moses,
I am who I am. When you go to the people of Israel, tell them, I am sent me to you.
God also said to Moses,
this is what you should tell the people. The Lord is the God of your ancestors. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he sent me to you. This will always be my name. This is how people from now on will know me.
Eventually, Moses and his brother Aaron did as God asked. And after many exciting miracles, Moses led the whole people of Israel to freedom. Moses became a great and powerful leader. Thank you, Abigail. Thank you, James. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, and the desert soil became holy ground. And later in our service, we're going to have an open opportunity for sharing together, the chance to respond to the question, when have I seen or heard God in ordinary things or people? When have I seen or heard God in ordinary things or people? So begin to think about that as we continue to explore God's word. As we all listen now to God's word for us, I'm going to invite Joe and other young people to come and share in some craft activities. You missed that. Some craft activities at the table here. So if you'd like to come and you're going to create a piece of work that will remind you of this story of Moses and the burning bush. Now, you don't have to be silent. You can listen as well, and you can talk quietly as you work. And we're going to think about the rest of the story. As I read the story of Moses and the burning bush, I can see there are three stages or movements that I want us to explore together. First of all, come and see. And we'll put the titles, the points on the screen there. You see, first of all, God gets Moses' attention. God gets Moses' attention. You see, we find Moses in the far side of the desert, the backside of the desert, miles from anywhere, a long way from Egypt, where he grew up, and with only sheep for company. And then something in the distance catches Moses' eye. What is that? Where is that smoke coming from? Something is on fire. I must take a closer look. So Moses is distracted. Moses is curious. He wants to know more. And so he turns aside. He changes course. He investigates. He leaves his sheep behind. He gets closer and he can see, yes, it's a thorn bush that's on fire. It must be the heat of the desert sun that has caused it to come into flame, to come alight. That's interesting. I think I've seen it once before. But then Moses looks a little bit closer and he notices that bush is not burning up. It's not turning to ashes. That's strange. That's out of the ordinary. I've never seen that before. Yes, Moses has seen a bush before. He sees them every day. Bushes are ordinary. And Moses has seen a fire before. He lights one every evening. Fires are ordinary. But the coming together of a bush on fire and not burning up, that's something special. So we notice, before God calls Moses or says anything to him, God got his attention. God got his attention. And isn't that true in our lives as we think about our journey of faith? God continually gets our attention. And he needs to do that because so often, if we're honest, we can go through life on autopilot with our senses dull to God. Perhaps we do it in our daily routine, in our journey from home to work or to the shops, to town, seeing the same buildings, the same sights, meeting the same people. From bus stop to bus stop, from breakfast to lunch, lunch to dinner, back home again. Or even if we're at home, our daily routine at home or working in the garden, from rising to sleeping, sometimes our vision can be narrow, our senses can be dull. Even in church, if we're honest, even in church, we can be on autopilot, not particularly expecting anything to happen. What captures our attention? What makes us turn aside? What makes us ask a question? What makes us want to know the answer? What is it that will make God say to us, come and see? What are we curious about? You see, curiosity can lead to awe and wonder and to an encounter with God. The Bible and all of history is full of men, women, and children who, in one way or another, experienced this divine distraction. Something that called them to turn aside from their everyday lives. And when you think about the followers of Jesus, even to leave their livelihood behind, to leave everything, to look to God. To follow Jesus. People who left their intended path for a closer look, drawn near to God. God is continually seeking to interrupt our lives, to interfere with our agenda. Not in a bad way, but in a good way, because God and his son Jesus can do far more with our lives than we ever could on our own, in our own narrow, selfish way. He will do for us and with us far more than we can ask or think. And as we become more and more attuned to God and expectant and curious, we might be surprised to find that it doesn't take a burning bush to notice God's presence. It might not be a burning bush. It might be a burning issue. A burning issue in our lives or in the world that causes us to turn aside. God says to us this morning, come and see. And the next movement in the story is how Moses was called to stop and listen. And that's the next point. Stop and listen. In Exodus 3, we read that when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to look, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father and your ancestors. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now that God has got Moses' attention, God calls him by name, and Moses is humbled. He is commanded to take off his sin-stained shoes. For our God is a consuming fire, as we read in Scripture. Our God is a consuming fire. And surely that was symbolized in that bush where the angel of the Lord spoke. And like a consuming fire, God burns up our sin and our pride and our resistance. He consumes it. We stop and we listen, wherever we are. Like Moses today, you don't need to be in a good place to come and see, stop and listen. You, like Moses, might be in the desert place or beyond the wilderness. Wherever you are, God is ready to meet with you, to call you by name, to show you his purposes. God has something to say to you. And because of Jesus, who walked on earth, who walked in our shoes, who turned water into wine, who took 5 loaves and 2 fish and made it into a banquet, who transformed the cross into a symbol of love and beauty, we know that every place is holy ground. He made the ordinary extraordinary. So Moses is humbled in the face of this consuming fire. And he lies with his face in the dust of the desert. And then he listens as God explains how God's people are in need of deliverance. God tells Moses how his heart burns with compassion for his people, Israel. God is not deaf or blind to their cry. God has heard their misery. God has seen their plight. And that symbol of the burning bush is like a picture of Israel. Israel at that time felt the heat of oppression, the thorns of hard labor. But even with all of that and the consuming fire, Israel was not destroyed. Israel was not consumed because God was in the midst of them. God was in the midst of them. And God made a promise to them to deliver them and to bring them out of slavery into a land of freedom. This morning, are you ready to stop and listen again to the cries of God's people? Are you ready to listen to the cry of those who are suffering today? And are you ready to act? God gave Moses a job to do. And so it is with us when he calls us. He gives us a job to do that only we can do. Which brings me to the final movement of this story. Go and do. God chose Moses to be his agent of change. God sent Moses back to Egypt, to the place of his beginnings, to challenge the Pharaoh. No wonder Moses was afraid. No wonder Moses was reluctant to go back. But Moses needed to remember he was going under God's authority. And because he was under God's authority and commission, he was under God's wing. He was under God's wing of protection. God reassured Moses, saying, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And friends, this morning, perhaps you need to hear that reassurance today with the tasks that lie ahead for you. God reassures us, "I will be with you." And that's the only guarantee that we get. That's the only guarantee that we need. God overrules our hesitancy. Yes, time and again we make our excuses. We say, "Lord, not me. Someone else. Not me. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not confident. I'm not capable. I'm not clever. I'm not qualified." We can find excuses, but God gently overrides them all, and he says, "Go. I am with you. I will be what I will be. And I will be all that you need. I will be all that you need." As one writer put it, "It is laid upon the stammering to bring the voice of heaven to earth." We remember those words of St. Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." So for Moses and for us today, the time comes when we have to stop making excuses, to stop talking and get walking. To stop talking and get walking. And Moses then was ready to find his sandals, find his voice, find his calling, and find that God was with him, and God was true to his word. In obedience, Moses went from shepherding God's flock, or even shepherding his sheep, to shepherding the flock of God. So in closing, what is God saying to you this morning? What is God calling you to do with your life, with your week, with today? Where will your yes take you? Where will your God take you today? So to recap, come and see. Get ready for a holy distraction. Stop and listen to the call of God and the cry of God's people. And go and do. Believe in the God who believes in you today. Amen. So now we come to that time of sharing, where we think about that, excuse me, that question, when have I seen or heard God in ordinary things, ordinary events, in ordinary lives and people? Or it may be something else that God has put on your heart to share this morning. So we've got a mic. David's got it at the back there. Would anyone like to encourage us with some way in which they have seen God at work?
Was a few months ago, I was driving to work, and I was driving up the hill near Cambridge, and suddenly my car stopped, and I tried to restart it, but it didn't work. It didn't do anything, and I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. And there was a car driving behind me and stopped, and I thought the driver will get out and shout at me, why do I stop in the middle of the road? But there was a very kind lady who said, oh, can we help? What's the problem? And she and her partner helped me push the car to a side spot. It was quite dangerous because it went up the hill and, you know, you couldn't really see when you came up the hill. So they helped me push it aside and they took me to work. And I said to them, thank you so much. You were my angels today. And I believe that God sent them and helped me in that situation.
Praise God. Thank you, Sonia. Thank you.
Yeah, when we first came to Haverhill, this is over about 5 years ago now, we didn't know Haverhill at all, and we, on that first day, it was about, we just moved in with our daughter, who lives near here, but we were looking for a house ourselves, and it took a few weeks before that situation arose. But we came down into the town that first day. Actually, it was before we actually moved in with our daughter. And we walked into next door. And we got into conversation with somebody that I won't name. But it was the peace in that conversation that I always think back on in the months that followed. it was just such a warm welcome. I just felt that God was in it. It was, yeah, I just can't put it into words.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. Yes, sometimes it's not the dramatic. It can be something as simple and as ordinary as a conversation where we can realise it's holy ground and peace. Thank you. I think Sarah behind you, David.
Joe and I have a story for you. At bedtime, we say prayers, don't we? And Joe sometimes says things like, but I don't believe in God because I can't see him. And then I have to try and work my way through that conversation for a 5 or 6 year old at bedtime, which isn't always easy, but we get there. But we did pray once, didn't we, that maybe Jesus would meet you in a dream. Do you remember that? Because I remember Nigel used to talk quite a lot about God speaking to us in our dreams. And so we prayed that night that maybe Jesus would come and reveal himself to Joe in a dream. And it was actually a few weeks later that Joe came in the morning and said that he had dreamt about Jesus. And can you remember what he said?
He said, would you like to play with me?
And I just thought that was really lovely. And it wasn't the next day, so I think maybe Joe had forgotten about it a little bit, so it wasn't like he was not making it up, but, you know, expecting that. And that was really special, wasn't it? Yeah.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you, Sarah.
Actually, I didn't think I had anything to say, but something has just occurred to me. A couple of years ago, my daughter had a very serious car accident, and she spun on some ice between here and work in Saffron Walden, and she went off the road into a ditch, and it was just awful. When I sort of picked her up and took her home and debriefed and all that kind of thing, she was very sort of dismissive about God, about any kind of thing to do with faith. And I wouldn't say she's all that far on since, but she did say to me that day, the only thing I could do, Mum, was pray. And I was looked down on that day and saved. So, you know, it was a dreadful situation, but it did bring her close to God.
Was there anyone else who wanted to share anything before we move forward? Well, thank you to all those who have shared. And I realise that not everyone has shared, but I'm sure we've all thought of something, some time, where we have met God in the ordinary. And we just hold all of that now before God and in prayer.